Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Well, we are in a series in 1 John. This is the first of a number of letters that the Apostle John wrote, not the Gospel of John, but towards the end of your Bible. And if you've done any sort of looking ahead at 1 John chapter 2, and Pastor Nathan started off the first part of that chapter, if you got to the end of chapter 2 and you're like, where are we going today? Don't ruin it for everybody else. They're not aware of what's coming. It's not where you think we'd be going on Mother's Day. Let's just say that. When we divided up these passages, I was like, wow, my lot has fallen in pleasant places. Nate says the way I was smiling meant that I actually enjoyed teaching this passage, and I do enjoy it. So you're going to get to hear that here in a moment. But I would open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2 and look at about verse 18. That's where we're going to be. Before we get started, one of the things that I've always thought about on Mother's Day is that Mother's Day is about a legacy of faith. And each one of you that are mothers, you have influence over someone in your life, and that legacy of faith is what we're passing down. And over in this section that we're about to get into, John says, remain faithful, remain in fellowship, remain in Christ. And so one of the greatest callings you have as a mother is to pass on that legacy of faith that they can remain in. Paul writes it this way to his son in the faith, Timothy. He says, and this is the verse I always think of on Mother's Day, I am reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am persuaded lives in you also. So we are not saved by our mother's faith, by our grandmother's faith. You say yes to Jesus on your own. You come to faith on your own, but faithfulness lived out in front of others is faithfulness that gets passed on. That's what it means to be faithful. And before you're off the hook, you're like, I'm not a mom. Fathers, grandparents, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, friends, coaches, you have influence. Someone is going to school on your life. They're paying attention to what you do, and what you pass on matters. Don't let your faith stay with just you. Our faith in Jesus Christ is something that's designed to be passed on to other people. And that's what it means to build a legacy. So make sure you're passing on your faith to someone else. And this morning, Mother's Day is hard for some. It could be grief, could be distance, could be pain in that relationship, could be brokenness. But the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And I was just listening on the way in this morning to the song, Son of Suffering. And we have a God who bleeds, a God who hurts, a God who knows what it means to walk the road of suffering. And he, more than that, is able to heal those tender places and bring healing and wholeness in places that we didn't even think was possible. So, thank you to the moms out there for being here today. And those of you that are here in second service, this is awesome because everybody else is out at lunch and you'll get to be able to go and there'll be nobody there, right? So, you've come to the right service. No. we're going to get into 1 John chapter 2. I've been saying 2 John all the week, so we're not in 2 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. And before we start reading through this section, we're going to read through a whole section of scripture down to the end of the chapter. And we don't skip verses just because they're hard to understand or because they're inconvenient. We're going to read the whole thing, but I want you to take some of these words are going to bring ideas to mind right away that you might already have. I want you to set it aside. Take those ideas, set them aside. Don't let yourself get triggered by what's about to be shared. Just hear the Apostle John, the way he would be writing it to the church. Remember, Nate talked about how the Apostle John was an older pastor. He's writing to people young in the faith. And this is the tone. This is the way he starts off. Dear children, is how he begins. Okay. Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. And when they left, it proved that they did not belong to us. But you are not like that, for the Holy One has given you his Spirit, and all of you know the truth. So, I am writing to you, not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an Antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. But if anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So, you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life he promised us. I am writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. All right, there we go. So those of you that are in high school Bible study, we would read a passage like this and then we would go, what stands out to you? What do you have questions about? And what do you think one of the first questions would be that we would get here? Who's the Antichrist? Just tell me who he is. What's going on? And somebody's going to have that question of like, what do you mean there's many Antichrists? What is John talking about the Antichrist? But to go right there, right away, that misses John's point. He uses a tactic that Jesus has used many times. And if you know that John sat and listened to Jesus, you can hear those echoes here. Because Jesus would often say, you have heard, and then he would say something else. You have heard, and then he goes somewhere else. So when you hear the you have heard, we should pay attention that there's something going around, and I want to address it differently than how you've heard it. Also, if you go the rest of the way down in this passage, the very center of this passage is what is important. And that's where we need to spend our time and focus in. Verse 24 and 25 is the most important section of this whole thing. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life he promised us. John wants us to know that faithfulness to the call and to the Word of God is the main point. That's what's important. And so you're like, well, what is the call of God? Where should I be focused? And to that, I would say, where has God uniquely planted you? Who do you have influence with? We just talked about mothers having influence on their children, but who is God uniquely placed in your life? With whom do you have influence? What is his favor on in your life? We're looking for where God has called us, where he wants us paying attention. What is he blessing? What is his favor on in your life? Or maybe if you're still searching, what is the last thing he said to you? What is the last thing God said to you? Have you followed that? Have you obeyed that? Have you walked in that? And the goal here in this passage is to focus in on your calling and what you've been taught from the beginning, following through on what God has started. God started a good thing. He's going to be faithful to complete it. We get so distracted. We get so off track. I'm the king of people getting distracted. I will actually distract myself as a way of accomplishing an end goal task. I need to get this done, but first, let me side quest. That's me. I distract myself constantly. And unless you think that's not you, I would say if you're on Christian TikTok or Christian Instagram or anything like that, you're going to find yourself distracted pretty quick by things that are not the main point. People are big experts on things that are not the main point. And those are the most fun, right? Like, they get really distracting. But this is what John is trying to challenge them against. Remain faithful to your calling. The unique place that God has placed you is there for a reason. So if you're distracted by all this other stuff that is not what you're called to do, you're not available to the people around you. You're not listening to them. You're not paying attention. You're not showing up in those places and spaces that God has uniquely put you in because you're so distracted by all these other things. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's Romans 12:2. And this is all about calling, all about God's will. Let's read it together. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Constant distraction, constant lack of focus. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And I've been in so many environments where I worked alongside people, I had influence with them, and then I left that job, and then I went to another job, and I had influence with those people for a little while, and then I moved on to somewhere else. And you don't know how long you have influence with those people. Show up for them. Pay attention to what God is doing in your life. I don't go where you go. You don't go where I go. Fulfill the mission that God has for you. Remain faithful to what he's told you to do. All right. You're all still distracted, though, because we were talking about the Antichrist a minute ago. All right. Let's go to verse 18 and 22. And John says, the Antichrist is coming. Many such Antichrists have appeared. Anyone who denies the Father and Son is an Antichrist. All right. Here's what's interesting. The word Antichrist only appears in your Bible 4 times, and all of them are in 1 John and 2 John. 3 of them are right here in this passage this morning. I bet you some of you thought, it's in Revelation, right? Nope, not in Revelation. It's when Jesus was talking about when he's coming back. Nope, not there. I'm no Greek scholar, but these words are very simple to delineate what's being written. I'll get to that in a moment. But Jesus, when he was talking about when he comes again, this is what he said. For false messiahs, and this is Mark 13:22, sorry. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. Okay, so what's going on there? False Christ, false prophets. The Greek word there is pseudo-Christos or pseudo-Christos. That is very easy for us to understand, even if you don't understand Greek. Fake Christ, false Christ. What John says here is anti-Christos, which means antichrist. Not pretending to be Jesus, not pretending to be divine, not trying to lure people away, but anti-Christ, rejecting who Jesus says he is. So we need to remove this idea from our mind of like, I follow Jesus and he's Jesus. And then over here, everybody else follows this like dark Jesus and he's got like a hood and he's the Antichrist. Darth Jesus. That's what we think about in our minds. We're like, okay, before Jesus comes back, we're going to see this like dark character. Let's just set that aside and actually hear what John is talking about. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. Inside and around the church, John is talking about something that was already going on in his day. People are leaving and saying that Jesus isn't the way. He is not what he claims to be. That's not the Jesus I believe in. He's said some things that are too hard for me, and I don't really accept him as a Messiah, those kinds of things. That's what John is talking about, people that reject Jesus and walk another way and deny that he is who he says he is. In fact, like this was happening, Jesus claimed to be the anointed one, the Messiah, the coming one that the Jews were expecting. And some people among the Jews said, no, he's not the Messiah, and walked another way. That is what he's talking about, the spirit of Antichrist at work in the world already. So what is John actually concerned about in this passage? I went through and found the things that he actually talks about. People are leaving the churches. People are denying that Jesus is the Messiah. People are denying that Jesus came in the flesh. That's a big one. Jesus just appeared human. He was really God, but it just looked like he had a body. People are chasing secret or hidden teachings. Surely the gospel can't be this simple. There's got to be, there's like this hidden knowledge that only one person knows. People are claiming spiritual authority or claiming to speak in the spirit while drawing attention to themselves instead of Jesus. That's 1 John 4. That's why we need to set aside our previous ideas of what Antichrist looks like and understand this stuff is already happening. I'll just break it down a little bit. John, 1 John 2:18. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. For from this we know the last hour has come. These people have left our churches, but they never really belonged to us. John is an older pastor. He's writing to people that are younger in the faith. They're under persecution. And so what he's doing is dispelling a rumor. There's this rumor going out, and they're under persecution, and they're saying, things are about to get a lot worse. There's gonna be this guy coming, and he's gonna destroy us all. And John is saying to them, no, don't be looking for a coming evil one. Remain faithful. Your job is don't deny Christ over these trivial things and walk away. Don't remake God in your own image. Don't reject who Christ says he is. Because why? Because you know the truth. You know the truth. He's telling them to not go be looking for that truth in all these other side places, but you know it. You know the truth. That's in verse 20. But you are not like that. For the Holy One has given you his spirit, and all of you know the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. So I am writing to you, not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. How? Because the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals Jesus. Jesus came to perfectly reveal the Father. He did that. He was God, fully man, walking our streets. And Jesus said it this way when he's revealing the Father. He says, now you are my friends since I've told you everything the Father told me. The Spirit points towards Christ. Christ points towards the Father. And in verse 27, it says this, but you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. The Spirit has taught you everything you need to know. You might not know this today, but I was not a joy to have in class, and I may have used this on my teachers. The Spirit will teach me everything I need to know. You don't need to teach me. Does that sound right? The whole thing here is that the gospel is that simple. It is a simple gospel. But that's just the beginning. You can come to the gospel very simply. Jesus died for your sins. He made a way to the Father. Children understand that. The Holy Spirit reveals it to our hearts. John is not saying, don't learn. In fact, he's saying, continue in what you were taught. How would you be taught if you weren't learning? He's not rejecting sermons or classes or study or seminary or discipleship. And so many of us would love to say, oh, I don't need theology. I just need to sit and listen from the Spirit. You know what? God has put very good teachers in and around you for a reason. And if you're not listening to them, there might be something going on in here. What he's saying is, you don't need some secret hidden knowledge beyond the revelation of Jesus. You need Jesus. And adding to him, or adding to the gospel, changing how we view God or Jesus, just turning it a little bit, denying the Father or the Son. This is a big one. How many people do you know that are like, I'm cool with Jesus, but that Old Testament God, I just can't get on board. Denying the Son or the Father. This is how cults start, and this is why I want to bring it up, because so many people go looking for hidden teaching somewhere, and there's someone that has it that no one else has, and it's really different. It shapes how Jesus is in a whole different way, or how God is. This stuff is dangerous, guys. The Holy Spirit continually reveals Jesus. But don't take John's word for it. This was God's plan from the beginning. A long time ago, even while they had, you know, temple worship, tabernacle worship, they're bringing sacrifices, and they're being taught the law by teachers of the law, God was looking forward to what was already going on in the church. The experienced reality of the Holy Spirit. This is the promise that is written in Jeremiah. Long before the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, God predicted it through Jeremiah. He says this, "But this is the new covenant I will make with my people Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them. I will write on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people, and they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, 'You should know the Lord.' For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." This was God's plan all the way along. Not just external religion, but transforming truth, transformed hearts. The Spirit helps us truly know who God is. And he teaches us the truth so that we can remain faithful to what we were taught. So this is the center of the passage. You must remain faithful to what you've been taught from the beginning. And if you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Father and with the Son by remaining faithful to that teaching. And in this fellowship, you will enjoy the eternal life that he promised us. Jump down to verse 28. This is how he wraps it up. John says, "And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame." Remain faithful, remain in fellowship. That's the message. So many of us may have grown up listening to Christian radio, listening to Christian media, or I don't know what, where all we heard these things, but it seems like a common experience that there's just this endless speculation of this president that's coming is the Antichrist. This influential person over here, I bet they're the Antichrist. Or the Antichrist is coming through the UN. If the UN could just get their act together and they could put one guy at the center, they can make a whole series of movies about it. And what was the result of all of that? We became a lot more focused on a coming evil one that was supposed to come before Jesus than a coming righteous one. Yeah. Come on. Guys, we got to check our spirits a little bit. If we're looking for a coming evil one before we're coming righteous one, that's wrong. We've got to be looking for Jesus. I said it before in a message a while ago that I don't take cues from the devil for anything as to whether or not I'm on the right path. He doesn't tell me I'm on the right path. Jesus does. I keep my eyes on him. I'm looking for him, right? the cry of the Christian church for 2,000 years since Jesus ascended into heaven has been what? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Can we say that again? Jesus, we're looking for you. Our world is in chaos. There's rumors all abound all over the place of evil that's coming and coming our way. You know what? I'm looking for one, a righteous one that's coming, and he's going to set everything right. I'm waiting on his return. If you're looking for something else other than Jesus to come and rescue us from what we're doing, or even to signal that the end is here, that you're looking at the wrong thing. Get your eyes on Jesus. Stop taking your cues from anything evil. Okay. There's one other section that I wanted to talk about, and that is, it talks about testing the spirits, but it is in exactly the same vein as what we're talking about. It's over in 1 John chapter 4 at the very beginning. And you heard two of the places where he uses the word antichrist. This is the third one. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. This is 1 John 4, verse 1. Do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. And this is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet that does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming into the world, and indeed is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over these people because the spirit who lives within you is greater than the spirit that is in the world. That is our hope. And if you would have told me that the spirit who lives within you is greater than the spirit is in the world is in that passage, I might have not believed you. It's something that I remember often. The spirit that is within me is greater than the spirit that is in the world. But that's our confidence. That's our hope. We are children of God, and that means you carry the Holy Spirit within you, and that is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the Holy Spirit, and he reveals Christ to you perfectly. And we walk around without this identity. And that's what it means to have a form of godliness, to look good on the outside, but deny the power that the Holy Spirit is. The Spirit that is within you is greater than the spirit in the world because he reveals Jesus. So I have a couple questions for you today, and one is, have you actually met Jesus? Some of you are facing the trials and chaos of this world without the Prince of Peace, and I don't know how you're doing it, but he can be known. He desires to be known. He's given everything for you. He's paid the way, and his invitation is there this morning to say, come to me. Repent of your sins. I can give you a new life. So do you know Jesus? Have you met him? And the second question is, do you know Jesus, not just know about him? And at the end here, you can come forward and pray and anchor any of this down and make that confession to Jesus. I knew about you, but I didn't know you. Do you walk with him? Do you talk with him? Do you sit with him? Is he first in your life, or is he just an accessory to it? The third one is this. Are you remaining faithful to what God has called you to do? Your unique calling, the unique place that he has placed you, the unique people that he's given you influence over, are you remaining faithful to that? Don't remake God in your own image. Don't say he's not who he claims to be. He's something else. Follow him for who he really is. Remain faithful to the one who called you. He put you there for a reason. And the last question is this, and that is, who are you looking for? And we've talked about it a little bit today, but sometimes we're looking around at all these different places for the wrong thing, for the wrong person. And whenever I think about somebody looking for Jesus, there's one guy that comes to mind, and it's a story in Luke 2. If you read all the way to the end of the chapter of the Christmas story, you see Mary and Joseph, and they're taking baby Jesus into the temple to fulfill the law and to do what the law asked them to do. And they enter the temple courts, and this is before Jesus tossed the temple tables. So this is outer courts of the temple are like a marketplace. People are shoulder to shoulder. There's cattle for some reason and a lot of birds and people selling different things. And there's an old man named Simeon who his entire life, he's been showing up to the temple to look for one person. He believes he's going to see the Messiah in his lifetime. And somehow, in all the hustle and bustle of the temple courts, this old man sees a young father and mother walk in with this little bundle, and he is overwhelmed with joy. He runs up to them, and he prophesies over them, and he gets to pick up the baby Jesus and hold him. And he says, "My life is complete. I've seen the face of God." Somehow in the whole temple courts, in all of that, Simeon was looking for the Lord and he found him. 30 some years later, Jesus is standing in the temple courts. He's telling people who he is. He's preaching the coming kingdom of heaven. He's doing miracles. And the teachers of the law, who know the law better than anyone, missed him. They looked him dead in the face and they missed him. Why? Why did that happen? They weren't looking for him. Who are you looking for? John says, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. Why? It's terrifying to see a risen Lord glorified in power coming on the clouds. It's a terrible day unless you know him. Unless you know him and you see the face of a friend. And instead of a voice that sounds like a trumpet, you hear a voice you know. Jesus is here. He's calling your name. He's been calling for some of you for a while. And you know his voice. How will you respond today? And will you remain faithful to what he's called you to do? I'm looking for a risen, returning, coming king that is going to set everything right. And I know him because he's my friend. Do you know him? Will you remain faithful to what's been taught? If you can, stand to your feet. We're going to pray here to end. And there is a few minutes left, so you will have time to respond. Please do. If the Lord is putting something on your heart, come forward, respond today. Maybe it's living up to the call that's already on your life. Maybe it's turning over something that Jesus said he's put his finger on today. If you need help praying, you can come to the altars. Just raise a hand. Somebody will be there with you. Now let's just seek the Lord together. We'll have a song here at the end. Dear Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you have taught us the way to go. I pray that we would be faithful to continue following you in it and not get distracted by so many other things in our lives. I pray that we wouldn't twist or change the things that you've taught us from the very beginning. I pray that we remain faithful and that we would be looking for you in our everyday and walking according to the calling on our life. So we thank you for you, who you are and what you're doing in this house and in these people and in our life individually. We praise you for what you're about to do next. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.